I do.
That's what him and John told us. We got the board of individual and metro.
Okay, good evening. I'd like to call to order the Wednesday, December 5th, 2018, meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Nichols?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here. Would you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you.
That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda? Barbara?
No, nothing for me.
I get a motion to approve the agenda as...
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, agenda is approved. That brings us to public comment for items not on the agenda. Is there anyone here for public comment for items not on the agenda?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to first begin my comments thanking Mayor Hill for his service to this district. A lot of things have happened over the last 4 years, and during his service as the representative of Oceano, I think he's always had this district's best interest at heart. So thank you. I will ask you, the board majority, to rescind the censure of Mayor Hill, since he'll no longer be the mayor. There's no point in having that hanging around. So again, I would ask that you agendize that, and perhaps the coming board will do him the courtesy and rescind that. Mayor Scholes is still under investigation by the Fair Political Practices Commission and has been for over 2 years. And even when he leaves office, he may, if he is found to have the conflicts of interest that the claim complaint has revealed, he will be obligated to reconcile that with the state. So if there are fines, even after you're out of office, you will be penalized. That, with that in mind, I believe this district, even though he hasn't served as a board member for quite some time, he did perform some acts that were that he should have been censured for, and that this district still could. And I would ask that you do that. I would again ask that your board consider seeking restitution from John Wallace in some civil action. And I noticed, and maybe we'll talk about it later, but your administrator is going to start a Facebook page in the coming year, and I think that's a great step towards correcting the record of Mary Lucy, putting out the information that this district, what this district actually does, and the great track record that it still has today, and put those myths to bed. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, board. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of Surf Rider Foundation. Came here tonight to bring a copy of the letter to Regional Water Quality regarding the South County Sanitation District's reissuance of waste discharge requirements. It'll be discussed at a Regional Water Quality meeting in Santa Barbara the end of January or the first day of February next year. Surf Rider reviewed the draft reissuance document And we had some recommendations that we sent into our regional water quality that we assume will be part of the documents that are reviewed during the discussion at the meeting in Santa Barbara. We had a couple different issues that we focused on. One of them was the impact of the brine discharge program. We feel that, well, I mean, just the trajectory of the brine discharge program, what is permitted by regional water quality, has not been adequately studied by the district. We don't think that regional water quality considered the impacts to the community as far as potential truck traffic through Oceano and through the Five Cities area, to how many trucks would it take to reach the maximum permitted brine discharge. So I brought copies of the letter to present to you. The other issue has to do with microplastics. And as you know, or as you might know, we don't have tertiary treatment here at the district, so the filtration is relatively low compared to many other either ocean dischargers or those who recycle wastewater. At the end of just last month, the governor signed into law a bill that will study the microplastics in the ocean and is asking regional water quality to come up with a scientific approach to measuring the threat to our local ecosystem. And as you might know, those plastics can end up in the ecosystem and then eventually end up in us. So they are a threat on many different levels. And because this district has ocean outfall, those microplastics could get into the system with inadequate filtration, be discharged to the ocean, where they get into our food supply. So that's all part of the letter as well. Thank you for your consideration. And we hope that the board will agendize this so they can come up with a letter of support for regional water quality at that hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia Price, the Rio Grande. I am speaking tonight just to thank Mayor Hill for his 4 years of service and to say how much I have appreciated him being on this board and on the Rio Grande City Council. I wrote a list. I need a bigger piece of paper of all the things that I admire about you, Jim. Your intelligence, your honesty, your knowledge of engineering, your knowledge of finances, your foresight in identifying issues that will come up in the future, and speaking out to set up a warning if the council would heed it. I want to thank you for being instrumental in weeding out the corruption in this district. It's been a real uphill battle. You've come up against formidable obstruction from the board majority. I've spoken about that on numerous occasions. I want to thank you for your patience and your consideration in dealing with members of the public and honoring all views. Your responsiveness to questions when they could be answered, and explaining at times why they can't be answered. First and foremost, I want to thank you for your integrity. It's unceasing. I just admire you. I'm going to miss you. It's been wonderful having you on this board and on the Aurora Grandy City Council for the last 4 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patricia.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a public comment?
Hi, Colleen Kubel. I again want to thank Mayor Jim Hill for everything that he's done on this board and for this district for so many years. And it's not going to be, no one who sits in that chair is going to be able to do what you have done. The investigative work that you have done, everything about this, they are not going to be able to fill your shoes. And that's going to be something that this board is going to regret. And so the investigative work you did is something that you have to have that knowledge. And without that knowledge, you aren't going to be able to, that person's not going to be able to help the administrator like they need to. And so that's my fear. And so at this point, I just want to thank you. And I would like the board to remember that now you're going to have to take your direction. Whoever sits there from administrator, which it should be anyway, because you're not going to have anybody up here that can investigate like he can. Thank you, Mayor Hill, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Krista Green, Oceano. And I, too, want to thank you, Director Hill, for your selfless service. You have set an example for professionalism and self-control in contentious situations. I appreciate your hard work, research, transparency, and willingness to question operational and financial practices of the district. Although you are Aurora Grandy's representative on the board, you have been an objective voice for the entire district in guarding against waste and abuse of our resources. Thank you, Director Hill, for your service. Secondly, I'd like to urge the board to thoroughly assess the merit of pursuing civil action against John Wallace. The Knutson report clearly states that there was a decline in cash and cash equivalents of about $7 million during the last 10 years of John Wallace's tenure as district administrator. Please discuss the case with the DA. If you don't, you will be making a decision in a vacuum and turning your back on your fiduciary responsibility to the ratepayers. The DA filed felony charges because there was solid evidence of conflicts of interest. The DA only settled to no contest pleas because of the statute of limitations. And finally, I'd like to point out that the district's agenda invites members of the community to present comments, but it does not define community. I request the board consider revising the statement to read, invite the public to present comments. That statement would clear up any confusion about who is legally allowed to comment at board meetings and be in line with the sanitation district's bylaws and state law guaranteeing the public's right to participate. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment?
Good evening. My name is Ron Arnoldson, and I also want to reverberate some of the comments that have been made about Jim Hill. I know Jim Hill personally and know him for probably close to 20 years. He is a stand-up person. His involvement on this board has been basically the mayor of Aurora Grandy, but he's represented this district, not just Aurora Grandy. Even though I'm a citizen of Grover Beach, I feel Jim has been my representative because he's stood up and fought very hard. He's asked tough questions. He's been tough on the budget. He goes through the budget. He goes through every one of these board agendas word by word. And I know that personally because I've seen him do it. And I respect him more than anybody that I've seen in this whole county as far as a politician. He represents his citizens and his community. Has no welfare that he concerns about himself as he's been beat to hell by you people and the other people on other boards because he stood up for himself and stood up for the community, and that's not easy to do. He's taken a hell of a beating the last 4 years, and I think it's almost a godsend that he's not going to have this job anymore for him. It's not good for us. It's good for Jim because he needs the rest. He's been beat to death. You guys have been really hard on him. I also would like to reverberate the fact that I think your fiduciary responsibility to this board is not just on an ongoing basis. On every board meeting and agenda packet, you need to be fiduciary responsible. You need to look back and anything that's been happened in the past that's cost this board money, you need to try and recoup that money. And that is very cognizant of what needs to happen with John Wallace and Associates. And it looks like the board is going to look at an $85,000 mistake that has taken place, and that's another issue that you still need to be fiduciary responsibility and trying to get some of that money back, too. But once again, thank you, Jim. Appreciate your help and appreciate your friendship.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we will move on to item 5, the consent agenda. So we have 4 items: approval of warrants, meeting minutes of November 7th, 2018, notice of district board meeting rotation, and request to purchase a replacement vehicle SUV. So does anyone want to pull anything off the agenda?
I would like to have a discussion regarding the meeting rotation.
Okay.
5C.
So we'll pull that now, and then we will ask for public comment on 5A, B, and D. Does anyone that wants to give public comment on that, and we'll do that separate.
Julie Tacker, and the only question I have is in regard to a Liebert Cassidy Whitmore audit letter in your warrant register. There's a $520 charge. I had hoped this district had severed its ties with Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, so I'm curious what the relationship is with that firm and what exactly. I guess we'll see the letter somewhere, someday. I'd like an explanation.
I can explain that. They were your attorney for in fiscal year 16. My name is Alexander Hom, the CPA, the auditor for your district.
All right, thank
so
you.
We had to have to, since they were your attorney for fiscal year 16-17, we have to send them a letter asking them, you know, the information about the fiscal year in general. If they owed you money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, is there any other public comment on the consent agenda? Is there any discussion on any? Okay, I'll take a motion to approve 5A, B, and D.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so motion to approve 5A, B, and D passes. Now, notice of the district board meeting rotation. You wanted to?
Yeah, I have absolutely no qualms about the rotation. But I was wondering, would it make more sense, since we are 3 agencies, to have 4-month rotation so that each agency is a host for meetings for the year? So I propose that to be thought about.
So we've done here since we've been in Grover now for
6 months.
6 months. Move to, 4, 8, and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something we can think about?
So might I propose, just for discussion purposes, that if we go this 6 months, then we'll end up at the end of a fiscal year. If we do 6 months in AG, and then at that time, if we began the 4-month interval, we would ensure that during a fiscal year, there's an equal split in the meetings amongst the 3 member agencies.
Okay, it's really based then on the fiscal year rather than the calendar year. Okay, that makes sense.
So you okay with?
Yeah.
So we'll just.
All right.
Okay, so then we want to make a motion to on 5C, or we want to have public comment first on 5C.
Julie Tacker and I wasn't going to say anything, but the change is interesting, and that would take a bylaw change for your board. But just as an observation, when the meetings are in Oceano in the winter, it's very dark in that parking lot where some of the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have more streetlights than Oceano. So maybe you can time that with daylight savings time, which part of the year we're in Oceano. I love Oceano in the summer because it's the beach. So anyway, that would just be my preference if you did go to that new schedule, but so that it's not so dark in the winter.
Okay, do we have any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none. Does anybody want to make a motion that we start our next meeting at Arroyo Grande Chambers?
Yeah, I move that we start the next 6 months at Arroyo Grande and then talk about rotation of 4 months to keep it in line with the fiscal year rather than the calendar year.
Again, I'll second.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so 5C passes. So our next January meeting will start in Arroyo Grande. Okay, we'll move on to our 6A, the presentation and approval of the fiscal year ending 2017 financial audit. And we have someone to present the audit.
Again, hi. I'm Alexander Hom from Moss Leaving Hartzheim. I'd like to say for the 16-17 audit, we gave the district a unmodified clean opinion, but with one major finding. And it had to do with connection fee money use. The grit removal system was used connection fees were used for the grit removal system, and the connection fee money has to be used for expansion of capacity. And it's hard to argue that grit removal would be helpful in capacity. So, and other than that, everything looked fine. The staff was great to work with as well. And any questions regarding the audit?
You want to go ahead? Or?
Well, just a question about the grit removal. That certainly would impact any future expansion of the plant as well as the current.
Does it help with capacity, expanding it? Like, does it help you take in more flow or anything?
If that was the case, then the grit removal would service that portion of the plant's production as well. In other words, the grit removal is not limited just to the current or the past capacity of the plant.
Wait, so that's not... Sorry, I'm trying to understand that. Can you explain a little bit more in terms of the...
I guess at least a portion of it could be thought of as grit removal for future expansion, should that be...
No, it has to, pretty much has to be for the expansion of the plant. It's helping... It's not direct. Let's say it's not a direct expansion. I think that's what more of those fees were for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any more questions?
About the $85,000, the $85,000 question, or
$85,000.
I think it's on note 12.
Oh, note 12.
There was an.
Okay, I can explain that one. So, how net pension liability works is pretty much CalPERS gives you a giant number, and you take a percentage of that number based on your contributions from the district. Like, it's all the special districts, all the cities, they're in CalPERS, and CalPERS will give you a percent, like tell you what your percentage is. And then you just pretty much calculate the percentage out, and that is your net pension liability number and anything associated with it, which is all the deferred outflows and inflows. So if you look at the pension note, it breaks it out for you, what inflows and outflows are. The prior year in the 15-16 audit, for some reason, the percentages, whatever the number was in the 15-16 audit report, the financials, didn't match up with your percentages at all. I didn't even know how they came up with that number. So then if you, but I calculated it out in 16-17, it didn't match up, and that was the difference. And I had a prior
period. So then that was, an adjustment was made for that then in this year. In this year.
Correct.
Those are all my questions.
I just maybe have a little question on one of the points here. The non-operating revenues and expenses increased 329%.
Are you talking about
it's item 6A. Do you have our agenda there?
I have a copy of the report. Which?
Page 3.
Oh, page 3. Oh, got it.
It's the management's discussion and analysis. I think this is what the highlights with our administrator put together.
It's the last bullet on page 3, Alex.
I see it. Second. Yes. No, third to last. So primarily had to do with the 109, most likely, if I had to guess, the grant revenue.
That's why that increased. And then the other one, net cash provided by operating, increased 129% from $835,000 to $1.91 million.
Most likely, you're talking about the last bullet point, the net cash. It most likely probably had to do with the rate increase.
The rate increase?
Most likely.
Okay, that's what I think everything else was. Did you have any other?
No, I didn't have any.
Any questions on the audit? Anything else, Jim, that you have?
No. I appreciate the recommendations.
Yes.
I also, just for the public's edification, this is the audit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017, which normally at this time you would kind of expect the audit for year ending June 30th, 2018. Yep. So we're effectively 1 year behind in our audit so that everybody understands where we're at. Mm-hmm. And do we have an estimate for when I guess we're going to be commencing the audit for the year end June 30th, 2018 immediately?
I was talking to Amy about it. She's got a little things to wrap up, but I'm shooting for January.
Very good to hear. Thank you.
One little forewarning for next year's audit, though. There's a change in accounting practices overall. So the medical benefits, the post-employment medical benefits, the unfunded liability, the old rules, you have to amortize it out by 30 years. That's the old rules. The new rule is 100% has to show up on the financial statements. So fair warning for next year's is going to look like a crooked number, but it's an unfunded liability that, you know. So again, it, like the pension ones, if everyone stays the course, that's how much is what the liability is. So
okay, well, look for that one. Okay, so this is just I'll open up for public comment now on the audit.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and with regard to the rate increase and maybe future audits, I wonder if we can, like you've talked about at your board meetings over the last several years, show the redundancy by itself. What portion of the rate increase is going into that redundancy pot expected to pay for the redundancy project? And then commensurate with that, you want to see what is being spent on redundancy. I think that's transparent for the ratepayers. With regard to note 12 and these numbers that you couldn't find, I'm curious, number one, it occurs to me that the accountant may have made those errors and that the previous auditor would have caught them, or, as I recall, that auditor was manipulating the books and said so in his, excuse me? Yeah, they had an auditor just last year. Glenn Burdett was the name of the firm, and they admitted that they were working in the numbers, which was not a healthy way for an audit firm to proceed. So what my bottom line question with this note 12 and this $85,000 error or anomaly is, was there any consequence of the error that may have triggered somebody not being paid properly or debited properly? What is the outcome of that mistake? Because sure, you can fix it on paper, but either somebody didn't get paid or somebody got paid too much. I don't know the answer to that, but that is my question. Thank you.
I can answer that. So mainly the prior period adjustment was for deferred inflows and outflows, and those, it's part of net pension liability in terms of it's based on the unfunded liability with, you know, in regards to like PERS itself as the your portion of the investment earnings, stuff like that. That it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It has no really direct effect on the district, pretty much, like in terms of cash or anything in terms of that. It's just pretty much the number is coincides with the net pension liability. It goes with it. It's not really, you know, as I said, nothing in terms of the employees, cash, payables, receivables, anything facet of that.
And that's because that's all paid out by PERS.
Exactly. These are your portion of what PERS is doing. And then you have to just have to report it onto your financial statements. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment? Everybody done? Okay, we'll move on. Thank you very much for the presentation.
We'll go to 6B, the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
Do we need to accept the audit or do any?
It would just receive and file. So
yeah.
We just receive and file the audit, correct? Okay, yeah. Okay, so on to the District Administrator Report.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Happy to say the plant's running well, and I would like to take a moment and thank Director Hill for his years of service and his assistance at the Sanitation District. I've enjoyed working with him over the past 6 months, and sorry to see you move on, but I know you've already been traveling some, and so I hope to hear more about some travels, and good luck to you, and hopefully you won't be a stranger. Okay, so administrator report. So redundancy project, we're still expecting on December 19th for to receive, or I'm sorry, I said the next meeting date. It's December 21st. I'm expecting the 90% plan submittals to be submitted from Kennedy Jenks. They did email me today saying that they would hit that deadline. They said they would let me know if they were going to miss it or not. And I got an email today saying that it would be on schedule. Today we returned the rental centrifuge. They loaded that onto a truck and it's headed back to Canada. That will result in approximately $16,000 a month in savings or less burn from the district's operations budget. Couple other things, the PPM will be coming back at the next meeting on 12/19. Alicia Laura will be here to give a presentation on that. We just saw the audit from, I'd like to thank Alex for being here to do that. It is my intent to begin a social media page through Facebook. I've got a draft going right now. I have not released that to the public. A few notes about that. It's a forum, like messages could be submitted to the district. It's not set up in a way that will allow members from the public to engage in some sort of public discourse on the site itself. Public comments are turned off on the web, on the Facebook page itself. So it's not going to be a place for any type of dialogue back and forth, but there will be all kinds of links and accomplishments. There's a lot of good work being done at the district right now. Not all of it deserves presentation at this venue, but I would like the members of the public to share in what the folks at the district are doing daily and weekly there as far as what they're accomplishing. And I think the social media is a good an outlet to communicate that with the public. No update on the closing period for our NPDS permit. Mr. Snook from Surfrider referred to it earlier. The closing period for public comments on that was November 30th. We'll have a hearing date at the end of January, beginning of February. They haven't, it's the 31st and the 1st, I believe, and we haven't heard which one of those days our item will be on that yet. No update on Central Coast Blue. Plant tours back on 12/19. Mayor-elect Karen Ray came by to see the plant, and I showed her around, and we had a good sit-down and chat. Plant operations report. The numbers at the plant are stellar right now. The plant's running really well, and so that's something I'm very pleased with. It was one of the things I wanted to accomplish when I started, and so thanks to the operators for getting all that dialed in. And that really concludes my administrator's report.
All right. Thank you. Any comments from?
No, thank you to Jeremy and the operating staff for the excellent numbers and the good job there. We appreciate that.
I agree. Very happy to hear that. Any public comment on the administrator and plant operations report?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And in reading the NPDS permit, it is where I learned that your district was a year behind in submitting a milestone to the Coastal Commission with regard to your coastal development permit for the redundancy project. This milestone was to submit a coastal hazards monitoring plan, and thank you, Mr. Gent, for supplying that through the Public Record Act. And I'm curious, because I've read it now, if this or some of this new information will have to be incorporated into the 90% design. Is there some further work that may be necessary due to the change in numbers as far as coastal hazards are more likely, more frequent, more impact to your facilities? So that's a question. The other question I have, saw on KSBY News a water leak in Oceano on North Swing, which is near the plant, not too near, not that that matters. My question is, with this ongoing water leak, you are experiencing additional groundwater. This water is going into the ground. And my concern, going back to the inflow and infiltration studies from the past, my concern is that this additional water in the ground may be finding its way into your collection, to the collection system, which then goes to the plant, and that water needs to be treated. So I think my bottom line here is that I think an inflow and infiltration study needs to be done, and we need to rule that out. And of course, Oceano, I know, is working on trying to fix that leak, but there are impacts from adding water to the ground. So hope you can work in concert with the district, the Oceano district, to see that that's all rectified. But that's it for me.
Any other public comment?
Good evening again. It's pretty obvious what a difference a year makes. The difference in the administration now compared to the previous administration is night and day. I know Julie used to say that the last administrator wasn't a good fit. He just wasn't good at anything. And so I welcome Jeremy once again. He's a man that knows his shit.
I just have a really quick question. The Facebook thing, I know that there won't be comments back and forth by the public. Can the public comment on whatever you're presenting? Will you get comments from the public? Will we be able to communicate with you that way on Facebook?
Do you want to answer that, Ms.? Go ahead.
So you can send messages directly to the district, but the other members of the public will not see those messages.
Okay.
Yes, there will be the ability through Facebook for you to send a message directly to me and Amy at the district, but the other members of the public will not see that. And that's, you know, that's clearly because of the public discourse that's happened here at the district. And, you know, that doesn't mean that in the future we couldn't go there, but because of all the discourse here, I wasn't wanting to. This is meant to highlight the accomplishments of staff at the district, and to share with the community. And so, because of some of the history, I just didn't want to open that up to general public because of the controversies that have surrounded the plan.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to make it clear.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't real clear on that. I guess that's it.
Thanks.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we will file the report. And our next item is the application for the district credit card account. Did you want to give us some background, Jeremy?
Yeah, so again, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. This item is for an application to replace the district's credit card. Currently, the district credit card is through Bank of the West. And that was a program organized through the California Special Districts Association. And so CSDA has this card. Many agencies participate in it because of the benefits and perks that come with the card as far as reduced fees to CSDA meetings, cash back toward our fees that we have to pay to CSDA every year. And so through that, back in 2014, the board took action to join that CSDA program that was Bank of the West. Well, since then, this year, Bank of the West has pulled out, and CSDA has renegotiated that contract with Umpqua Bank, and they've restarted this program and are offering it with the same benefits through Umpqua Bank. And so this item before you tonight is to provide the authority for us to cancel the one account and open the new account to move over to the new CSDA member bank, which is Umpqua.
Okay. Any discussion? Anybody have any comments on that?
I think it's a very good idea to have this credit card available for emergency situations. And I see no point in not going to the new bank.
How do the interest rates compare between the two banks?
From everything I've reviewed, Jim, I didn't compare the interest. We pay the bill in full every month, so I did not compare the interest rates.
The reason I asked that, and I know we typically pay the bill in full, but sometimes there's a meeting that's missed at the end of the month, such as this month, and therefore we don't make the payment during that month, and so we would incur interest charges in those conditions. So I was just curious about that. I presume they're, you know, market rate and relatively competitive, but didn't see a reference to the interest rates.
Yeah, I'll check and verify that we're not putting ourselves in a bad position.
All right, any public comment on the application for the credit card account? Seeing none, okay, entertain a motion or...
Move approval of the staff recommendation.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. So it carries 3-0. So that brings us to miscellaneous items. Do we have any? What's that?
Yes, there is one miscellaneous communication. Yesterday I received from the County Public Works Department acting as the flood control district, a request with a letter template supporting a grant application that the county's working on for Prop 68 California Fish and Game Fish and Wildlife funding to do work on Meadow Creek Lagoon and Arroyo Grande Lagoon. And so I've drafted this letter. They were looking for approval, a letter by the 14th of this month. And so it wasn't, I would have agendized this, but since I received it yesterday and there's no meeting before the 14th, it's been included as additional correspondence. But a letter's been drafted, and there are copies available to the public if they'd like to read that. This is my modifications to the county's template, and it's before you tonight. And if we're in agreement, we can sign it and endorse it. I do think the project's worthwhile. And it ultimately is part of a larger project that will result in reduced flooding risk at the district site.
Okay, any comments? Anything from the board?
Just to understand this. This is like a diversion from Meadow Creek past the lagoon. Is that what the project is?
So. The grant is for a planning study. So when I reached out to Ms. Ogren at the county to have a discussion about it, she wasn't able to provide a lot of details because the grant's for a planning document. But the overall planning, it allows for flood mitigation, and it allows for it's primarily a fish enhancement. And it will make some changes at the flap gate location that will allow some salt water to mix with the Meadow Creek Lagoon. Restoring natural coastal wetland habitat is one of the primary goals of the project, is to make Meadow Lagoon, and it's focused around steelhead.
Thank you.
Any public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll... Let's see, do we need to make a motion to send this letter? Or is it just something we'll... Okay, so you want me to sign this one? Okay, we'll do that then. Okay, then that brings us to board member communications.
Yes. It's been my honor and pleasure to serve the district for the last 4 years. Thank you to members of the public for the kind comments. We did manage to get a couple of things accomplished in terms of the Knutson investigation that went to the DA with further investigation of Mr. Wallace, and criminal charges were brought. I would hope that, if possible, as several of the members of the public had commented, that the district would pursue that if at all possible in terms of restitution. There was issues with that, not only direct financial impact, but indirect impact in terms of delay to the redundancy project. That's also folded in there, and it's cost the district probably the redundancy project will end up costing double what it would have if it was started when originally recommended. I want to thank the members of the public for their participation in following this district. Things tend to go awry when members of the public don't watch what's going on in their in board meetings and at districts. And for the members of the public that have stayed with this for the several years that we've been involved, thank you to all of the members of the public. And I particularly want to thank Jeremy Gent for bringing the district back to a even footing after a difficult period in the district's history. And I want to thank the operators and the operating staff and the staff at the district for doing a great job for us on a day-to-day basis. The numbers that we have are good, and I know that Jeremy and the entire operating staff take great pride in that. I also take pride in it for the involvement that I've had with it. So thank you guys for continuing to do that and doing your jobs well. We all rely on that, obviously, for our environmental well-being. And you guys are prime contributors to our environmental well-being. And on behalf of the citizens of Arroyo Grande and myself and for all of the residents of the district, thank you for the good work that you do. We appreciate it. One other thing was mentioned in public comment, and that was the rate increase. While it does cover other things, it was primarily intended to cover the redundancy project, and hopefully we can account for that, as was suggested, and make sure that money is moving forward with redundancy and hopefully ultimately wastewater recycling. The Surfrider's comment about plastics and lack of tertiary treatment obviously would be part of the recycling, so that problem would obviate itself if we proceed with beyond the redundancy project toward wastewater recycling. So we're looking forward to that in the future. Lastly, again, thanks to all of the members of the public for comment, regardless of where they're from. It is important that, and the state law recognizes that members of the public have every right to comment, and that means regardless of where they're from. So thanks again for that public participation. I wish the district well in the future, and I'm sure Mayor Ray will carry on for the district, and you'll continue to operate well and very best in the future. So thank you again.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jim, and I'd also like to thank you for your service on the board and wish you well in the future.
Thank you.
And I second that motion.
Thank you.
So good luck
to you.
It's
been good working with you, Jim.
Okay.
I have been receiving comments from the public on the change in the tempo and the loudness of our meetings in a very favorable light, and I want to thank everybody that comes to the meetings for their civility and their interest.
Okay, thank you. All right, with that, I believe we now will go to closed session. Do you announce closed session, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board will hold a closed session to confer with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation issues and potential matters.
Okay, we will now adjourn to, public comment on closed session, please. Is there public comment?
Says there.
So is that different? Then you said anticipated litigation. That would be a different government code.
No, that's incorrect. The safe harbor language is anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to subdivision D4 of the government code.
Okay, so initiation of litigation is the key for me, and that is why I will comment. I will ask your board to seek restitution through a civil case against Joan Wallace. I've asked before. I hope you have seen the court documents that hopefully have been provided to you, and you will be compelled to seek your ratepayers' funds back. I wanted to give an example of something that I thought at the time, think still today, that was sort of shady behavior by Mr. Wallace as administrator. He was working towards the redundancy project in about 2005. At the very same time, the district received a $50,000 grant to study desalination located at your plant using an intake from the ocean at the sanitation district plant, and you matched it. So your district paid another $50,000. The study was $100,000. When the study came back and you look at the plot plan of your plant, he plotted the desalination plant in exactly the location of the redundancy project. He knew darn well that that property could not hold both pieces of equipment. Yet, his firm was paid to study that. And that is what is one example of the egregious actions of conflict of interest when you hire your own firm to carry out duties of the district, the things that the district would have done. But that was wrong. And that's just one example. The other potential initiation of litigation, I didn't get my question answered earlier about the coastal hazard monitoring plan, but the fact that Paul Karp and Rick Sweet did not get that document into the Coastal Commission in a timely fashion, your board has standing to hold them accountable and seek some restitution, some refund of their time, because they didn't do the job that was required of them. So I don't know what you're going to go in there and talk about, but those are two examples of where you need to protect your ratepayers through potential initiation of litigation.
Any other public comment?
Kind of want to echo what she said. I think it's correct. I sat on this board when Mr. Wallace was the administrator here. Had a lot of respect for him. I liked him as a person. But it's been obvious that he has made some mistakes. And it's obvious that you have a fiduciary responsibility to try and refund this district through his E&O for those mistakes he made.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session.